It is time for, thank God, this week in the Lakeville Journal, and hopefully we have Cynthia, are you there?
I am. Hello.
Janet, are you there?
Yes, good morning.
I like that pause. That was really good. That was good. That was excellently
timed.
Thanks
for scaring the hell out of me, Janet.
You should have seen his face.
All right. Yes. Well, okay. Well, let's take a look right here at the front page of the Lakeville Journal. And, you know, we've had a lot of protests, sit-downs, marches, and everything like that with Black Lives Matter. And one thing I noticed, the ones in Connecticut that I went to and that I saw were all organized by, and this is what really impressed me, young people.
Right, local young people.
Yeah.
Who care a lot, and a person, a good friend of mine who is a person of color, had said, "Boy, it's, you know, it feels really good to me to see that these young people are mad and they're doing something about it." So, Julia Cash, who anybody from Sharon has known Julia since she was a little girl, and I think she worked at Paley's for a while. I think she worked at Little Rascals, maybe. But so she organized an outing in Sharon over at the Clock Tower, very well attended as they've all been. A lot of passion. Nice story about it by Hunter Lyle, who, of course, is our new freelance reporter and also grew up in Sharon. So,
It's been interesting to follow all these as they've gone on. But like I said, the one in Pine Plains, once again, all these organizations include young people, and that's what we need for the future direction of this country is young people to get involved, organize, and then get out and get involved in voting and politics as well.
Right, and don't just go out for a march and then forget about it.
That's exactly right. Commit yourself to it. You've got a story by Patrick Sullivan, and I've been talking about this all morning long with the different phases coming into effect in the different states. Towns are slowly beginning to offer services again, as well as businesses. So I think everybody has to realize it's not going to be exactly like it was before, and they're going to have to be a little patient with people.
And I'm going to just say, to jump ahead a little bit, I was looking at our classifieds. There's a lot of help wanted ads, which is a nice thing to see. That feels really good. But so business is slowly opening, and as Governor Lamont said very specifically in his announcement of the phase two, nobody's required to open if you don't feel safe opening. Yeah. Don't open. And if your workers don't feel safe, then, you know, adapt and figure out some way to do it so that everybody feels safe as we move forward. But there are different businesses opening. We have a story coming up in our issue of the 25th by Hunter Lyle about different rec options in the different towns, which are opening their beaches and pools at different rates. Some of them are offering summer programs. We had a brief, I think, last week from Camp Mohawk in Cornwall saying, we know a lot of people need childcare this summer, so we're offering day camp for the first time. So actually, we'll run that again next week. But we'll also have a story coming up that Hunter will do, I think, for the July 2nd issue on services for seniors, because there's a lot of, you know, thank goodness, a lot of programs for seniors in the area. Hunter will give a list of lunches, regional lunches, and other regional programs, the bus trips, et cetera, and whether they'll be coming back.
All right, a story also by Patrick Sullivan, and we noticed this when we were covering different region one Board of Education meetings. Not only Housatonic, but some of the grammar schools are attracting interest for the fall semester. Kent has a possibility of 12 new students, which would replace the 12 that left. But the pandemic could have an effect on attendance in Region 1.
The numbers that we've seen have shown that there's been a 350% increase in rentals since last year, and I think a 20% increase in real estate sales. So in theory, all those people are going to be here in the school year, which would be great because our schools are small and they're excellent and would benefit from having some more students. So Barbara Douglas, who lives around the corner from our old office in Lakeville, had emailed and said that Housatonic Valley Regional High School had sent out a note saying, let us know if you're planning to come in fall because we're having an unexpectedly high number of inquiries about matriculation in autumn. So Patrick called Ian Strever up, the principal of Housatonic Valley Regional High School, and Ian said, so far we've had about 7 people contact us. So each of the different schools will have a different number of young people coming, but this, you know, it'll throw off the numbers a little bit, and of course will impact the budgets, but I think that everybody here would welcome some additional students.
All right. Interesting story on the front page about a telephone line that actually wound up in the Housatonic River. And I laugh at this because my telephone line in front of my house has been snapped twice by trucks because over time, the way it's attached to the pole, all it has to do is drop a little bit. And you don't really notice it, but you notice it when it's 12 feet and it's in the Housatonic River.
Yeah, especially when it's under the water.
Yeah.
And David Dansker, who lives over sort of at the Sharon Cornwall, you know, where the river bisects Sharon and Cornwall, had said, you know, this phone wire is underneath the water right now. And as we all know, pretty soon the water level is going to drop as soon as it gets a little bit warmer. And he said, you know, if you're out paddling, and I'm not sure that that's a huge paddling area, but still, you know, if you're out paddling on that section of the river or if you're out fishing, it's just, like, it would make me nervous to see a big wire dangling in the water. And it's unsightly. We do work really hard to keep our river beautiful. So and Eversource had also a line that had dipped. And they came and they took theirs out. And I have to say, Eversource generally takes really good care of their property. Frontier, which is fairly new in the region and I think is struggling with their own business model right now, has not really responded to his calls, but disappointingly, neither had the Sharon and Cornwall selectmen. So he called us up, and Patrick did an interview with them, and of course they hit it off because David Dansker is a fly fisherman, so they could talk about the importance of the river. So Frontier did come out, and they lifted it up somewhat, but it's still there and apparently not fully functional. But I guess we'll see what happens within the next year.
Can't be fully functional if it's less than water. I just know that from what we dealt with at the radio stations. But it's also a danger in a lot of different ways and an inconvenience. Well, we'll move on to something else. And Nature's Notebook, and this is something, I'm a cat lover. And I believe that everybody should have cats, but everybody should have cats indoors. And if they're outdoors, when you take them out, put a bell around their neck because, boy, the amount of birds that are killed by cats, you would be staggered to find out nationwide what it is.
Yeah, it's some insane number, like, you know, 3,000 birds a day or something.
And if you talk to Margaret Roach, for example, it is such a scourge that people aren't even aware of.
Yeah, many things that we all as humans are unaware of that we do. And I think that people probably think, well, you know, they're animals and I hate to keep them cooped up in the house. You know, he'll come home.
You know what, they'll live longer.
Yeah, well, if they stay indoors. Yeah, and you don't have that worry about them disappearing if they meet a larger cat. But Tim Abbott had a bluebird nest in his yard and they'd overwintered. And, you know, they, as people do, they became fond of them. They sort of became a part of the landscape that they looked forward to seeing. And some cat, he believes, came in and killed the birds, and it was really heartbreaking to him. So we'd actually been holding this column for a few weeks because it's been so busy we haven't really had any front page space, but I think that the message remains clear, which is it really is better if you're going to let your cats out, you know, do give the birds a fighting chance by putting a bell around their neck.
All right, I love the picture of the bugler, the Boy Scouts flag day.
Yeah, you know, a lot of, as you were driving through several of the towns in the area, there were flags out, and people said to me, like, what's going on? Why are there so many flags? And I was like, well, it's flag day. So nice, the Boy Scouts went out, and of course we had a nice story, I think, last week or 2 weeks ago of Michael Martin, an Eagle Scout. You know, to me, it's so extraordinary how many Eagle Scouts there are, and it really says a lot not only about the young people and their commitment to, you know, a scouting lifestyle, but also to the adults who continue to run these programs for these young men at a very high level. So, you know, congratulations to them on another nice outing.
Yeah, I'll go to the next page, and one of the things, you've got a story, fees set by North Canaan Selectmen. Well, this year, once again, I was sent to fees that were set by Sharon, by the town of Sharon, and I put it on the air and posted it, and people started complaining. I couldn't believe this, because they thought these were new, these fees that these towns institute are there every year.
Right. It's funny. I think a lot of people don't realize that they pay to have they pay for their transfer station. And a lot of people, as we learned, you know, in the many, many years of conversations about the Salisbury-Sharon transfer station, a lot of people don't realize that they have to have a transfer station sticker, even if they have a hauler, because every household is contributing to the overall cost of running the transfer station. And even if you have a hauler, they're hauling it to the transfer station. They're not taking it to some other, you know, they don't have like a private transfer station. It all goes to the transfer station in your town. So you do have to set to pay your fees, and the fees are increasing because
it's just the way it is.
It's costing more to the towns to get rid of general garbage, and of course, the more you can compost and the more you can recycle, the more decreases everybody's costs. So please be conscious of that. I want to jump back to page 82 for 1 second and say we're doing, because there are no fireworks at Lime Rock on July 4th weekend this year, Salisbury Rotary Club has done it for decades, and they'll be doing it on Indigenous Peoples Weekend, first weekend in October. But we are going to, fireworks tend to look the same through the years. So we're putting out a call to people. Send us photos of your favorite fireworks displays. We, of course, have thousands of pictures in our archives of not only fireworks, but of people watching the fireworks. You know, there have been years when people have been sitting under towels and blankets to shelter from the rain during a fireworks display. But if you have some favorite fireworks, send us a photo.
And in around that time, also, it looks like Canaan Railroad Days, which was canceled, they're going to run fireworks also in October. So we'll get our fireworks back, it looks like, in October.
Who knows what the weather will be? It's so crazy with the weather right now. Quality Thrift Shop is opening. And, of course, Bargain Barn, as we know, is open.
Yeah, and the one thing about the thrift shops that people have to understand is they're not going to be able to use the dressing rooms for a while and stuff like that. And once again, like we say, just be patient with people. We've had the Bargain Barn open for about a month now, and it's people have been very, very good. You know, we have certain precautions about donations and everything. People have been very, very good about coming out and following the rules. So,
and speaking of donations, somebody had actually emailed me recently and said, because everybody's at home reading it. This friend said, I have 100 books I have to get rid of. I don't know where to take them. So the Kent Memorial Library, as many of the libraries are, is opening June 23rd, and they will be accepting donations, although they will not have their outdoor book sale this year. And, of course, Bargain Barn accepts book donations, too.
Absolutely. Boarding house issue, it's just going to let people complain individually with that, that they're not really delving into the boarding house issue that deeply.
And so this had started a couple years ago when the resident state trooper was Greg, whose last name just went right out of my head. But he felt very passionately that there were unscrupulous landlords coming in, buying up inexpensive properties in North Canaan and throwing up sheetrock so you had these little tiny dormitory-style rooms and no oversight over them, and that he was offering them to people who were recently out of rehabilitation and saying, come here, this is a sober house, quote-unquote. And what ended up happening was you'd have people living in, you know, sort of dangerous conditions, and it was a magnet for drug dealers who knew that there were people who were recently recovered and maybe sort of on the border, and there wasn't anybody in there sort of keeping an eye and saying, like, you know, I'm calling the cops if you don't get out of here. So he had said, you need to put up a regulation preventing these sober houses, but the way that it ended up being named, just for legal reasons, was it became a boarding house regulation. So then you had a lot of people come to these public hearings on this issue and saying, if you put up this boarding house regulation, it means that my son and his wife and their children can't live in the house with us, or, you know, we can't do this or we can't do that. There were a lot of questions about how you actually go and you have oversight, how you go in and check on somebody's private property and make sure that they're not doing this. So this has been going on for years, this conversation about how to have these properties safely and legally without attracting a dangerous element. I would say it wasn't fully resolved. I think people sort of lost sight of what the original intent was of the regulation. There had been a moratorium on these kind of residences, and the moratorium is now over. And as you said, they'll have to come to the town on a case-by-case basis, and we'll hope that these people who are not fully following the letter of the law will comply.
And who knew the state had a list of creative places?
As they should. There's so many creative, famous people from Connecticut. Of course, James Thurber, famously from Cornwall. Lots of movie stars, of course, up here, not on the list of creative places, but the famous artist Ezra Winter. And so his house had most recently been the residence of Bill Drentel and his wife Jessica Helfand. Both, you know, died early, sadly. And so the house is up for sale now. It's called Winter House. And it's just a beautiful property. And I had seen in an Instagram post from Graham Clem that they were representing the property. So I had sent Deborah Alexinas to talk about it because it has such an interesting history. And she discovered that it's on this new map of creative places. So you can find out about both the new website and about the house in Deb's article.
All right. And lots of nice pictures over the course of three pages of Housatonic Valley Regional High School, the class of 2020.
Now, you always feel like children should look back on their high school photos and think, oh, that hair. But they are such a good-looking class. Everybody looks just wonderful. And really great that they were able to get these photos in and done in time for this issue. Janet, do you want to say anything about it?
No, we're so happy that the high school was willing to work with us. We also have the graduates in the Millerton News for Weebatuck and Stissing. And we're hoping to do Millbrook next week. But it's a tradition, and we really wanted to be able to do it this year again for these seniors who just had such an unusual end of year. So we're so glad that Cindy at the high school worked with us to get these photos together, and we could get them in this year for the kids and their families.
And a great thing, yesterday, I think it was, or the day before, the Hartford Yard Goats lit up their sign in the outfield, and there was a picture taken of it for congratulations to the Housatonic Valley Regional High School graduates of 2020.
Nice.
And they Housatonic tweeted that out. It was kind of cool to see that as well.
That's great.
And it goes along with the next page where you have all the different ceremonies for the different eighth graders and even for the teachers and everything that went on over the past week.
That's right. And actually, it's two pages, so it's back-to-back pages. Just the way the pages laid out, they weren't facing, but do make sure to turn the page. And so we have photos from each of the six schools. They all did car parades. And all of the photographers were a little bit nervous going out because they were like, I don't know what we're going to get. It's just cars. But, you know, there's a lot. There's a lot of great images. And, of course, this is going to go down. This is really a historic issue where you see all these young people wearing masks. And, of course, the school administrators wearing masks. And, you know, a few of them where they were able to get their class photo, their graduation photo taken. They each had a photographer there. The students were allowed to take off their mask for their portrait with their diploma. But really such a memorable, interesting year.
I want to go on to the article, which makes you feel a little good, a Spring Fishing Journal, Tangled Lines by Patrick Sullivan.
And again, we've been holding this for a few weeks just because it's been so much been going on with it between the COVID and the protests and the state opening. But so Patrick, of course, an avid fisherman, and it's been great weather for him for fishing. And I was the beneficiary of three beautiful trout that I cooked up the other night, and they were delicious. But generally, he's a big proponent of catch and release, and he feels very strongly about how you catch them to make sure that the fish can be returned safely to their environment. And so last week we had a story from Patrick about fishing and being in the river near the Great Falls and seeing the incredible chances that people take and the sort of the ignorance with which they approach the falls. So we're hoping that local people know better than to go into those waters and on those rocks in sneakers. Patrick, when he goes out, is wearing special studded felt-lined boots and is there with a walking stick. And he says he'll stand there in the river and see people taking selfie photographs and putting themselves in great danger. And apparently, I'm sure you've seen this, Judy Jacobs posted that article on Northwest Corner Chatter, and it's spawned a great amount of conversation.
All right, I want to go to the opinion and viewpoint pages. And Janet, I would expect you'll get some letters from Peter Steiner's cartoon, but I did laugh when I once again when I saw it immediately. So,
well, I hope we do, and we're happy to take those letters. We have lots of letters this week too.
Some really good letters and some well thought out letters and stuff.
Yeah,
not on Black Lives Matters, and also one by Michael Keller about remove him before Election Day. Really interesting letters that are well thought out and get to the point as well.
Yeah, and carefully written. We have an interesting rebuttal from Ellen Wertheimer on Sunday racing and the ban, which has been around since 1959, and her reply to Kevin McGivern, who was in last week's issue. We editorialized congratulating our graduates and making note of what an unusual year they are in and what they will face through the rest of their lives. And we really congratulate them and wish them well. We also have a really good column from Carol Asher on why protesters are demanding defund the police. She talks about that. And Dick Ollis on police needing military discipline, not unions.
And once again, turning back to pages 100 years ago at this time, Mrs. Ritten's brothers spent the weekend with her.
Yes.
I love looking at that. I really do.
People love him, and people often say to me, like, that's the kind of story you should be doing. And I always say, like, well, nobody really wants to have their private life examined on the pages of the paper.
Except that it's so, it is gentle, and it is...
It's just a nice way to look back in history.
Right, exactly.
It's a personal way to gauge the centuries. All right, we've got about 2 minutes left, and that means you've got a pretty full compass.
A lot starting to happen again, which is very exciting. Five Points Center for the Visual Arts, which is in downtown Torrington, and is really expanding really extraordinarily, and has the nice little gallery right in the corner there near the Warner Theater. And they've got a new show with it's a group show with a lot of people, but Randy Orzano's got some work, and I love his work. which is just sort of nice little watercolors and sketches, which are, you know, beautiful on their own. But then he's a beekeeper. You've probably seen his bee boxes out in the middle of Sharon on the field there. And so he'll take the paper and he'll put it in the bee boxes after he's drawn in them. He'll fold them up. He'll do all sorts of interesting things with it. So you can see the results at five points, information on the show there. Hudson Hall has reopened. They've got a really joyful, almost Peter Maxey show by Rodney Allen Greenblatt. Similar down in Kent, the Craven Contemporary Gallery always has interesting stuff. Former finance guy, really interesting taste. Kind of a whimsical, fun show also. Marvelwood School is offering free classes for high school students, and we'll have an article in the issue the 25th or July 2nd interviewing Willie Yon, local baseball phenom playing in minor leagues down in Baltimore. And, of course, they're all on hiatus, and Shane will also interview him about a small pickup team that Willie has organized that's being sponsored by the Great Falls Brewery. And Patrick Sullivan had written about the slow opening at Lime Rock Park. You know, entertainment takes all different kind of forms here in the northwest corner. Definitely race watching is one of them, and not seats. You're going to sit out in the field so people can social distance. We've got some tag sales here. I love the one that's got the headline, Impressive Goodly Tag Sale. So I won't tell you where that is because I don't want your competition there, but if you buy the Lakeville Journal, you can get all the details.
All right. The Lakeville Journal online is tricornernews.com and also at your newsstands and also home delivery as well. All right, guys, stay safe again, and we'll speak to you next weekend.
Thank you so much.
Have a good week.
Take care. That is This Week in the Lakeville Journal. And once again, tricornernews.com is the website for the Lakeville Journal.